place, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Jesus continues, saying, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, for I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we were hearing during the children's sermon, we recognize the importance of you as a creation of God in this story. Oftentimes we find it a whole lot easier for us to put ourselves down, or for us to mention our faults, or when somebody says to describe ourselves, we have a longer list of the things we hate about how we look, or what we do, or what our vocation is, than the things that we recognize are gifts from God. It's kind of a pep talk from Jesus to all of us and to all of those listening. I like the imagery of what the theologian had written with the children, that you could hear and see that story as maybe around a campfire, where they're talking about real questions of faith. And as the disciples wonder, what does it mean for them to be a child of God? I think we still struggle with that on a daily basis ourselves. What is it that I truly understand as my gifts that I can take out into the world? The salt passage always has been interesting, because I think the first thing we think of is, well, the seasoning. We're the seasoning of God's world. We bring, you know, things to life that maybe just were a little blah. And for those of us on a low sodium diet, we recognize just a little bit makes a huge difference in our dish. But back in their day, they would have used salt for all sorts of different purposes. It was their refrigerator. They would have taken the meat, they would have packed salt around it, whether it was fish or it was one of the hoofed animals like beef or lamb, and it would have preserved the meat in such a way that they could return to it at another time. But there's another purpose to salt in the story that Jesus knows they're going to understand, and is not very flattering to the Roman Empire. It was illegal to make salt as a Jew under Roman occupation. The reason was it was like cash. You used salt to barter. You used salt to buy other things. If you had a cup of salt, you knew what that price was and then went out and bought something else with it. The Romans didn't want counterfeit money. So they didn't want you going to the Mediterranean, taking buckets of water, allowing that water to then evaporate, and boom, voila, you have salt that you could then use to better your life or better the lives of those in your family or your loved ones. Rome definitely had the finger on the pulse of everyday life by being able to manage one of the most important things in human beings' lives. Right? You have to have some level of salt. Every living thing has to have some level of salt. For those of you that maybe have lived in warmer climates, you know that ranchers have to put out salt blocks in the summer. They put out the salt blocks because there may be water that the animals can get to, but there has to be a level of salt that your body, that all living things crave. And they had to have access to it. So Jesus is talking about the importance of salt in the daily life of all of God's creation. Why? Because you're more important than that. You're more important to God than all of the commodities on earth, whether it's gold or silver or salt, bonds or stocks, real estate. None of that compares to how God values you. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we're like, I don't see what God sees. And God's like, I know. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Because God sees a child of God's creation that goes out into the world carrying that lamp, not hiding it under a bushel basket, which, by the way, is kind of a little public service announcement from Jesus that that's just not a good idea. Open flame, hiding it under a bushel basket. Don't do it home, kids. If they're still listening in the childcare room. Jesus' importance of light and salt is to underscore you and your importance not only to Jesus, but to the world. And wants us all to hear that and recognize that. You know, it's not just some history lesson that was 2,000 years ago either. Salt remained to be a commodity. Salt remained to be a thing that empires used to control people for thousands of years, going way back before this story and going much closer to our time on earth. In 1933, Great Britain and all of the power of the British Crown didn't allow anybody to have salt, to manufacture salt, to create salt, unless they bought that salt from the crown. Kind of rings a bell. Ours was tea. Other places in 1933, it was salt. As people came together and recognized their individual worth, but more importantly, their corporate worth, and that God was God. Of Christians and Muslims and Hindus, all of these groups of faith got together and walked hundreds of miles with Mahatma Gandhi to the ocean shore. Britain had said, it's illegal for you to gather on the coast, it's illegal for you to make salt, and you will be arrested. Thousands of individuals banded together and continued their march, gathering more and more individuals as they walked that path. And when they got to the ocean, they began to collect buckets of water, pans of water, to allow the sunlight to then evaporate that water and make salt. As they began to do so, the British troops moved in, caning not only the men that were collecting the water, but caning the women and children who dragged those men that were bleeding and unconscious from the water's edge to safety. That moment in time, believe it or not, was only able to be seen really once a week. So on the Friday night or the Saturday news clip before the weekly movie at the movie house, this clip was shown as our version of the evening news, or what now is a constant news cycle. And the first time that people saw that on film, it changed the world's opinion. Individuals recognized that there were people that were being beaten and killed over basically making salt out of water. And it changed the world's opinion so much that people banded together and the pressure upon Great Britain changed their policies, the occupation of India. Salt wasn't just something that was important as those left Egypt and crossed over into the promised land. Salt wasn't just important in how people were able to keep meat and keep it from hurting themselves by eating it in Leviticus. Salt wasn't just important in how we saw its worth and your worth in the stories of Jesus Christ. It's important in the common era to recognize that you, as a human being, are valued more than anything else in God's creation, because you bring the light to the world. This last little piece of the scripture might be my favorite. In many, many stories, this one just sticks out because it feels like I'm reading a cartoon that maybe is dripping with satire. That's right, we didn't actually come up with satire in the last 40 or 50 years. It's been around for as long as human beings could make jokes, and those jokes would have a kernel of truth in them, and we'd be like, oh, that's funny. Oh, I see myself in that. That's not as funny as I thought it was. Jesus says to those that are gathered, you've got to have faith just as much as those pastors wearing those pretty robes and fancy things around their stoles and all of the ornateness of the church. At that point, the Pharisees and the Sadducees start to slink out of the room because they know all of the mistakes they've made. How they have kept people out of the temple, how they have kept people away from being able to worship God, how they have kept people segregated in different places so that they didn't feel valued or loved by God. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the pastors of today start looking at each other with the side eye going, it's got to be about time to go to lunch, isn't it? Because Jesus is saying, you already are better than the best of those people. Your works and the way you live your life are far more important. Who you are as a child of God, let that burst forth like the light that I know you have, Jesus says. Don't get hung up on one of the 600 laws and remember that all of these folks aren't perfect either. The underscore of that is that you are loved by God. You are invited into the kingdom. And more importantly, like we talked with them, it's our job. It's our responsibility to take that light of Jesus Christ and the power of God's love to all out those doors and into the world. Because that's what's going to change. That's what's going to change lives and the world. Amen.